compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. I hope you enjoyed your 21-hour break. I know I did. It's good to be back with you again, and so much to cover. I want to get into a topic right away that has to do with how you consume the news. Now, let's face it. As you know, if you listen to this program for any length of time, I cover a lot of current events. So you and I are talking about stuff that's going on in the world all the time and in real time. And we live in an amazing era in which you can get the news at a moment's notice 24/7. There's no lack of opportunity to know what's going on, even in the remotest parts of the world. It's almost insane how much information is coming at us. And, you know, I'm not an old fogey, but I like to think of myself maybe as a young fogey. And as a young fogey, I remember Walter Cronkite and Roger Mudd and all the other big name news anchors who were on TV in the 1960s and into the 70s, where it gave way to people like Dan Rather and the other figures who sort of took over for the old guard. And I remember quite vividly, and if you're old enough to remember, you do too, how the news was so different in those days. The news, so network news, ABC, CBS, NBC, they gave you the news. In other words, you would tune in for the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite. And that's the way it is. The whole country would see the news, and it was by and large the same news. So we all sort of shared that common perspective. Not that we thought the same thing, but we had a common perspective in terms of the way the news was reported. And it was news. In other words, it would tell you what was going on in the world without all of the editorializing. Now, think about what you see on CNN today, or Fox News, or MSNBC. Those are the main three. Now, I mean, you know, the networks, they're still big, I guess, NBC, CBS, and ABC. But the demographics have changed, and also the news reporting has changed, and it's become very tribal, so much so that there are people, and you may know some, who get all of their information from left-wing outlets, far-left outlets like CNN and far-left outlets like MSNBC, and they look at the world through the lens of the people who are presenting the news. And they're really not even so much presenting the news anymore. They're presenting their opinions. The same is true for Fox News on the right, with its conservative perspective, by and large, on things. And things are very tribal. I've known people, personally, who they watch Fox News all the livelong day, and their opinions are shaped based upon what they see on Fox News. And the same is true for people who feed on a steady diet of the far-left information that comes from CNN, or the far-left information that comes from MSNBC, not to mention the print media. The New York Times and the LA Times and USA Today, by and large, with a few exceptions, but not that many, most of the mainstream news outlets tend to be very far to the left. They're not moderate. They'll tell you that they're moderate, but they're very far to the left. And in any case, my point here is simply that's not how it used to be. You didn't have news curated for you in the sense that you were told what to think about the news. Now you're told what to think. They give you a little bit of the news, but they primarily are giving you their biases and opinions, whether left or right or what have you. And that's one of the dangers, one of the downfalls of the omnipresence of the modern media. Now, the reason I'm going into this detail is because there's an interesting survey that was recently released by Pew Research, and they looked at news consumption across social media in 2021. Now, social media obviously is defined as things like Facebook and Twitter, of course, and to some extent, I suppose, Instagram, TikTok. I mean, TikTok wasn't even in existence, it seems like, a year ago. I don't even remember hearing about TikTok until about a year ago, and now it's everywhere. YouTube is another example. These are all new social media outlets where people more and more now are getting their information. And I want to share with you some of the findings and just get your sense of it. Cyrus, I'd be interested in seeing what you think about this too. But here's some basic stuff from the Pew Research poll. As social media and technology companies face criticism for not doing enough to stem the flow of misleading information on their platforms, a sizable portion of Americans continue to turn to these sites for the news. a little under half, about 48% of U.S. adults, say that they get their news from social media often or sometimes. That's a 5% decline compared to a 2020 poll that Pew Research conducted. When it comes to where Americans regularly get their news on social media, Facebook outpaces all other social media sites. In a separate question asking users of 10 social media sites whether they regularly get their news there, about a third of U.S. adults, or 31%, say that they get their news regularly on Facebook, while about 1 in 5 Americans, 22%, say that they regularly get their news on YouTube. Twitter and Instagram are regular news sources for 13% and 11% of Americans, respectively. Now, don't worry, there's no test on Monday. You don't have to remember these figures, but they are interesting when you see the trends. So let me break it down for you. Some of these social media sites that are not as big and not as likely to be regular news sources, nonetheless, you know, a number of Americans are getting their news, quote unquote, there. So that would include Reddit. 7% of Americans who were surveyed said that they get their news from Reddit. TikTok, 6%. LinkedIn, 4%. LinkedIn, I mean, I didn't know that they even had a news feed. I guess I've been a sort of an unpaid member for 10 or 12 years. And I always thought it was just designed to help people find their next job or to recruit somebody for a job. But some people are getting their news on LinkedIn. Snapchat, WhatsApp, and Twitch. Twitch is 1%.
Who's getting their news from Snapchat?
Isn't that the news that it disappears 10 seconds after it appears on your screen?
It's just garbage. I downloaded Snapchat, and you just scroll through the news feeds, and it's pure garbage.
Sensational. Like what? See, I'm not on Snapchat.
It's all sensationalized and sexually motivated. I mean, almost every other post has something that's going to grab the attention of a 14-year-old boy.
I see. And you don't even need to explain what that means. It's just sort of obvious. Well, that's true. So clickbait is a big problem with that. So Cyrus, in your experience, you're a little bit younger than I am. People think you're far younger than I am when they hear your voice, but you're a little younger than I am.
You could be my dad.
And you... not quite.
How old's your oldest?
He's just turning 40 here in a matter of a few weeks.
Yeah, I stand by what I said.
You're older than 40, bud. I won't say how much older, but...
Don't remind me. All right, anyway.
Okay, so there is a... Okay, so I grant you that. There's an intergenerational difference between maybe how your generation and younger consumed news. Now, you probably, chances are, have no living memory of Walter Cronkite. That'd be my guess. That's the way it is.
I would always
sign off.
I know of him, yeah.
He was very grandfatherly. In fact, in a certain kind of way, he sort of vaguely resembled my granddad, my mom's dad, you know, in a vague sort of way. But he was a very grandfatherly figure. He was unruffled. Now, I think in his personal life, he was a left of center guy. But to his credit, at least by comparison to what we see in the news today, he did not inject his personal political proclivities into the way he reported the news. I suppose maybe at the time you could pick up on it then, but by comparison to now, I mean, it was pretty much straight news. Then you get into after Roger Mudd and Walter Cronkite and those guys moved on. Then you get Tom Brokaw and who's the other guy? What's his name? Dan Rather. What's the frequency, Kenneth? Do you know that story, Cyrus? What's the frequency, Kenneth, by R.E.M.?
I've heard that. Yeah, R.E.M. I've heard that, but no, I guess I don't know.
You've heard the song. Okay, so that song, What's the Frequency, Kenneth? I know we're digressing, but it's an interesting little empty calorie. You might be able to impress somebody at a dinner party someday, Cyrus, with this information. So what happened was Dan Rather – oh, actually, there are two stories here I want to share with you. The first one – well, you know what? I have to back up and I have to tell you another story. Before I can tell you this story, are you ready for this? This is three-dimensional chess. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, later.
All right. I can tell you have that look of, you know, expectancy on your face. Okay, so here, this first story really has nothing to do with the media. This has to do with something I've talked on a time or two on the program over the last 10 years or so, and that is the subject of prescient dreams. or dreams that are very vivid and they come true in great detail, very faithful to what I dreamed at some point in the future. I think I've told, maybe I haven't.
This is fascinating. So we need to go back to this later in the show because I want to hear what you have to say about this as a whole.
Yeah. Okay. We'll circle back to this, as Jen Psaki would say. So we'll do that. But I can't tell you the Dan Rather story without telling you the story first. And then we'll come back to this issue of dreams. Okay. Does that sound good?
That's a deal.
All right. Well, let's do it, Lunger. So, I had this dream and I told Nancy and I told, you know, other people, friends and family about this dream because it was one of those very vivid dreams. So I had this dream. I'm sitting in front of the TV and in the olden days, in the 60s, certainly, and in the 70s, and even into the 80s, when you would watch a news program, you'd have the talking head sitting at the desk giving the report. And then there would be like a box that would open up over his shoulder or her shoulder. And that's where a picture or video might appear. But unlike today, where they've got the Chiron and the stock numbers, and there's so much motion going on and everything's moving and all kinds of information. It didn't used to be like that at all. It would be just whoever was presenting the news and then maybe this picture box or video that would appear. So the whole dream was simply that I was watching television. I was watching some news program and Dan Rather's picture came up on the screen in that box. And when I woke up from the dream, my impression was that the news was being reported that Dan Rather, the anchor of, what was it, CBS News, that he had died suddenly. It's, you know, something had happened and he died and that was the news. And so I saw his picture and it was there and it was very vivid. So because I recognize that kind of dream, and we'll get into some of those other dreams later, I told Nancy and I told a few other people just to document it, just, you know, in case anything did happen. That way they'd say, oh, yeah, that's right. You did tell us that you had this dream. So I don't remember now because it's so long ago, but maybe a week went by, several days or a week went by. And Cyrus, I kid you not, one evening I'm sitting watching the news and in the box over the presenter's shoulder. Now, this is real life. This is not a dream. I'm watching the news and Dan Rather's picture shows up in that box, just as I had dreamt it. And what had happened was he didn't get killed, but he had come out of, I guess it was the CBS studios in lower Manhattan. And he came out onto the, you know, like the front steps and his limo is waiting for him. And some guy comes up to him. This guy was deranged and he's shouting at him, "What's the frequency, Kenneth?" He's saying this to Dan Rather. "What's the frequency, Kenneth? What's the frequency, Kenneth?" And he punches him out. He knocks him to the ground. So Dan Rather gets a bloody nose and a black eye. He's lying on the pavement now. And I guess the news organization security, they grapple with this guy and get him off. But that's what he was saying. Didn't make any sense. So that's what was reported on the news that I had dreamed a week or so earlier. And then Michael Stipe of REM, he writes the song, "What's the Frequency, Kenneth?" And that's where that song comes from. That's where that phrase comes from.
How do you feel about that? I had no idea. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not cool.
Not for Dan Rather.
Not for Dan Rather. Not cool at all.
He didn't like that. I wonder if Dan Rather liked that song when REM came out. Could you imagine hearing a song by REM that was written about you getting punched in the face by some deranged person?
Not cool, guys. Not cool. My newscasters that I had, you know, faith in when I was a kid, and I thought they were speaking the truth. They were like Kurt Loder and Martha Quinn.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. These were the MTV.
Oh,
DJs.
That was MTV.
Yep. That was my not Twitter. That'd be like my Snapchat. You know, right. They'd have these little blips of news, and I took everything as gospel.
You know, that's scary.
It really is. Yeah, it really is.
And that was when, I'm guessing that was probably what, mid-80s, to late-80s?
Yeah, right.
And so in the mid-80s, even the early 80s, whenever it came out, I think it came out around 1982, if I'm not mistaken. But back then, MTV was relatively benign, and it just showed music videos. That's all it showed. It didn't get into the... It hadn't gotten into, like you said, news. It hadn't gotten into the reality shows. That's where the reality show started.
It is, yep.
I think it was on MTV. Mm-hmm. The only reason that I paid any attention to Martha Quinn was that I thought she was, you know, a pretty lady. The other guys couldn't care less. Just did not interest me at all. So when we come back, Cyrus, I want to dig a little bit deeper into this and what Pew Research has found about the way people are consuming their news and what that means about how their attitudes are being shaped. This is something that's very important because it plays into all kinds of things, including religion. People's religious beliefs are affected by the way in which they consume news. And we've got plenty to talk about there. So why don't we take a break? We'll come back and we'll dig into that. If you want to send me a message, do so on Twitter. My address there is @PatrickMadrid. And you can also send me an email by going to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. So we'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back with more right after this. What's the frequency? Can it be show?
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. And I was sharing with you before the break this new survey that came out from Pew Research about how people are consuming news. And more of it now is going to social media. So by social media, by far and away, the biggest chunk of the public that is getting their news from social media would be on Facebook, and then followed closely by Twitter, also YouTube. It's amazing to me that people are getting their news on YouTube, but they're turning away from the traditional outlets of modern media, which back in the day, I was talking earlier about Walter Cronkite and Roger Mudd and those early major news figures, the anchors, that gave way in terms of the network news channels, and they remained robust, but then Ted Turner got involved with CNN, and may I say to you, there was a time back in the 80s when CNN had just come out as the first cable news network. It actually at one time was pretty good, and even though Ted Turner is a far left guy, nonetheless, CNN was very interesting because it did cover the news and it covered international news, which was great. And because it was a cable news outlet, it was available readily all the time. And the network news programs typically were not. So when CNN emerged, that too kind of changed the landscape, and it changed the way in which people began to get their news. And of course, as time went on, CNN moved further and further to the left and became far more ideologically driven. And now it really is just it's an opinion network that masquerades as a news network. And so what they do is they take the news and they use that, I guess you might say, as the vehicle to purvey their opinion. So I don't have much use for what cable news has become, because it's no longer really so much the news as it is showcasing people's opinions left or right. And the news is just sort of a vehicle to do that. And it's always fighting and they're bickering and they're, you know, lots of, it's no longer in my view, a helpful source in the way that it once was. Sure, I'll continue to look at it to see what's there, but it's been so diluted compared to the way news and information was pervade earlier, as you know, imperfect as it was before in any case. So some more details from what Pew has to say. The percentage of Americans who get news regularly from sites like Twitter and Facebook, as well as some of the small fry like Reddit and TikTok and LinkedIn and Snapchat. Cyrus, you and I were talking about TikTok during the break, and I think you had a very interesting point about that, because Pew is saying 6% of Americans who were surveyed say that they get their news on a regular basis from TikTok, but you differed. You had suspicion about that 6% figure. Why is that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the people that they're asking this question to are adults. So if you ask anybody that's 18, 17, and younger where they get their news, I bet that TikTok percentage goes way up.
Interesting.
I bet they get all of their news from TikTok. because they're constantly on.
Where did TikTok come from? Can you give me a quick tutorial? It came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
It seems like it was a year ago or maybe two. I never heard of it before that.
Yeah, I can't blame people for trying, you know, finding new news sources, because all of the news seems to cater to whatever demographic is watching them.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I always thought that TikTok was like these really quick video clips. Typically, they were funny. My kids would show them to me all the time. Hey, Dad, check out this Vine. What's a Vine? It's this quick video. And I never hear about Vines anymore. Maybe TikTok took over for that. But I always thought TikTok was some prank or somebody doing something, and it was funny or weird, and it would take 10 seconds, and then it'd go on to the next thing. I probably misunderstand it, but that's my impression. Educate me.
I think one led into the other. Because I remember that too, and it was kind of fun. You'd make a little 10-second video, show it to your friends, and then it got old. But then TikTok came, and everybody loves it. Well, everybody.
What
teenagers love it.
Is it? So are there like YouTube-length one-hour videos on TikTok, or are they all very short?
From what I've seen, when I take my kids' phones and I scroll through their feed,
and you smash them against the wall.
I want to so bad.
Yeah,
the phones, the phones. Not the kids.
Yeah, not the kids. I didn't mean the kids.
They're all short. They're all short videos.
Okay. So check this out. This ties in with the Pew Research, which we'll come back to in a second. New York CBS Local has a story about TikTok. A new destructive TikTok craze has teens stealing and damaging property at schools. The challenge has spread all around the country. Stealing school supplies, trashing bathrooms. Students around the country are jumping on this viral TikTok trend. It's called Devious Licks. It doesn't sound very good to me. Parents and teachers are getting a crash course on this too. So Chris Waka, I wonder if any of his friends ever say Waka, 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 Waka about him. I'm not making fun of his name, poor guy. But he's a school superintendent in New Jersey. He says, I was completely unaware of this phenomenon, but lo and behold, the very next day we experienced a mild form of vandalism. Waka, I'm tempted to say Waka, 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 Waka. I'm not going to say that though.
It has
Waka, Waka.
I would never say Waka, 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 Waka. It sounds like Pac-Man, doesn't it? All right, back to business.
Yes.
Waka said a day after his son warned him about a challenge called Devious Licks, someone caused $400 in plumbing damage to the boy's bathroom. A parent named Florencio Hernandez said, it's not good. They need to shut this down. They need parents of the kids to come in and explain. This is a serious matter. Another parent, Machanga Blackman, said, for every action, there's a reaction. So if you do something that's not cool, then something not cool is going to happen to you. That sounds like the karma police. So kids are vandalizing their schools because they're being told to do so on a viral TikTok video. So that ties into, I guess, Cyrus, what you're talking about, that the kids are looking at the TikTok videos and they're getting their information, and in this case, maybe even their marching orders as well. So Pew says that these numbers are rising and more people are getting their news online, and that's the problem, because a lot of this stuff, especially, and we haven't even talked in this segment at all, Cyrus, about deepfakes. And the powerful technology that exists. We've talked about deepfakes before in the program, but just the powerful new technology that is now freely available on your phone. Anybody can use it now. And it ranges from everything from pornography to funny, goofy kind of posts, but you can put your face or someone else's face. In the case of pornography, you can, I don't want to be specific here, but you can create what seems to be real in terms of photographs or video, and it's not real at all. You're making it look as though somebody else is involved in that when it never really happened, or it's obviously a fake, but it's getting so powerful now that you can't tell. This is, Cyrus, you're a father of kids who are still in school. This is one of the things I would think you're probably very concerned about is, what on earth are they actually seeing on TikTok and some of these other sites? Right. I'm sure it's not all as pure as the wind-driven snow.
No, no. I mean, one of the things like with deepfake that I like, there's this listener to your show, and he'll make deepfakes with your face on, you know, Clint Eastwood, in a shootout, or the wrestling guy, and they're hilarious. But you can use that same technology for evil, for just blatant evil.
Oh, yeah. And if the kid, so here, let me play out a scenario. So now this kind of ties in with the bigger picture of the young people, and even, you know, young adults and even older people now are very much focused on these media outlets, and their views of the world are being shaped by these outlets. What happens when it gets to the point, I'm thinking about, on the one hand, things like bullying, where if a kid is being ostracized and, you know, whoever his enemy is uses the deepfake technology to harm him in that way, or her for that matter, in that way, you know, by creating a deepfake porn, whatever. This is now available, freely available. And it ties in with the bigger picture of these quote unquote news outlets, because that obviously is not news. Entertainment and fun and gags and even the evil stuff that's mixed in now with in the places where these people are getting their news. And it's to the point now where you almost can't tell what's real anymore. You can't tell, did this really happen? Did this person really say that or do that? And my policy now, more and more, is simply, I don't believe it unless there's absolute verifiable proof that it's true. So if I see a video of Joe Biden saying we are going to bomb Russia, I'm not going to believe it, because that would be so easy to fake. But getting back to your own situation and raising your kids, Cyrus, do you notice their attitudes about life in general changing, good, bad, or indifferent? But do you notice them changing or shifting due to the way they're consuming information, kind of mixed in with the entertainment and the gags and the pranks and the funny videos and the news? Sort of, what are you seeing with your kids and maybe their peers in terms of how their attitudes are being shaped?
It's exactly what we started talking about at the start of the show with news, and how the news is very specific to a demographic. And so TikTok has a very left, an extreme left.
Yeah, extreme left
view. Right. And so the kids are starting to adopt some of those philosophies, which is really scary.
Tell the story. Sorry to interrupt you. Tell the story about when you and your kids were, what was it, at the doctor's office, and the clipboard came out.
Oh,
and
sure. Yeah.
The gender thing. Because I think that is an example of this, right?
Yes, it is. And it's funny and sad at the same time. They were getting their vaccinated shots. When you walk in, you have to fill out some forms. And it's, you know, your name, your date of birth. And then it says sex, male, female, or other. And so I had my kids right over my shoulder, and I'm filling this out, and I said, other, and they're like, dad, shh, dad. And they're looking around. I mean, it's like I'm cursing really loud, and I'm just saying, other, how can there be an other? This is a medical form I'm filling out. There's only...
And they were afraid that the thought police were going to come for you right there.
They were terrified the thought police was going to come for me. So they're scared of questioning any of that nonsense out loud.
Yeah. Oh, just, I mean, and you have good kids, and they're raised in a good home with mom and dad who love them and, you know, are vigilant. I fear for all the kids who don't have a stable home life, or at least they don't have parents who are really vigilant about what they're looking at. Yeah. And no matter how vigilant you are nowadays, Cyrus, isn't it true that you can't filter everything out?
No, it's impossible. Anymore. It's the only way to filter it all out is by following your advice and not giving them the phones in the first place. And they're still going to have friends. When I was a kid and I got grounded from my video games, I went over to my friend's house to play video games. And so,
did your mom know?
Probably. She's pretty smart. But no. I wasn't playing them at home. And so I'm sure...
Let me tell you a story.
All right.
No, no, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's just the kids are doing the same thing. If I take it away from them at home, you can't protect them.
They'll find a way around.
You can't protect them from the world. The world is still here. So it's important to communicate with your children. And I try to tell them as often as I can, you're being manipulated. And the fact that you don't think you're being manipulated proves how good they are at manipulating you.
You don't even realize it. Yeah. Let me just tell you a quick story. I know we have a break coming. I always try really hard to protect my children's privacy. So I don't want to mention which of the boys it was. I have 6 sons and 5 girls, but 5 daughters. One of my sons, I remember, he was really angry with me when he was about 16 because he had a posse of his buddies who came over, 16, 15-year-olds that came over, probably, 3, 4, 5 of them came over to spend the night at our house. They were going to have pizza and they were going to stay up and play video games. Okay, no problem. It's nice to let the kids do that every so often. Well, when they got there, all of these boys had smartphones. And I said to this posse of kids, I said, I need to collect your smartphones. We'll put them in this bag or this box and we'll put them up in the cupboard. But no smartphones, when you guys are alone playing video games. So I didn't know these kids. My wife, I guess, may have known a couple of them. And our son, he vouched for them and said, yeah, they're good kids, no problem. But they all had smartphones and he didn't because he wasn't allowed to have a smartphone yet. And I knew because I know any parent with a brain in his head is going to know that if you get a bunch of adolescent boys together after hours, the parents are in bed, nobody's around, the smartphones are out, you're going to have kids looking at porn. It's just the way it works. It's going to happen. You're going to have the kids looking at that or who knows what else. And so long story short, Cyrus, I said, I'm going to collect all the cell phones and we'll get back to you in the morning when you guys leave. And it really, really irked my son. And the reason it irked him was because he felt like it made him look like a freak. Like, what is wrong with your dad? First of all, what is wrong with your dad that you don't have a cell phone? And why on earth would your dad tell us we can't have our cell phones? And, I didn't want to be crass about it. So I didn't really give an explanation other than just saying that, our son is not allowed to have a cell phone yet. Therefore, we don't want you guys with your cell phones. It was awkward, but I felt it was the right thing to do. And, maybe with your own son or daughter, Cyrus, you can imagine that happening. But I felt like I had to do that. Otherwise, all of my fences that were there to protect him were completely invalidated if, his 5 buddies all had their cell phones out. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I did the same thing. I've lost the cell phone battle with my kids, so that's a whole nother story. But when I was younger and stronger willed, we'd have our nieces would come and stay with us for a week at a time. And I had a basket. And as soon as they walked in the door, I'd have the basket out and be like, throw your phones in here. Because if when they came to visit us, they would just stare at their phone and they wouldn't talk. And they were completely isolating themselves. And so as soon as there's a little madness right at the front end where they're upset and like, I need my phone. My friend's trying to text me. I'm like, well, it'll be, you can have 5 minutes to tell everybody how awful your uncle is. And, and then I'm taking your phones. And so after about 20 minutes or so, they were awesome and they were themselves again. It doesn't even take long for these kids to remember who they are and to be themselves after you take their phone away. But there is an initial shock. And it's almost like withdrawals when you first do it. It's not pretty.
They were probably anxious and irritable, and they didn't like it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's a good point. So we'll continue just a little bit more when we come back from this quick timeout, looking at the way in which people's consumption of information is changing the way they look at the world. And I want to walk us now into the direction of how does this affect people's view of God or their belief in God and their practice of their faith to the extent that they do anymore. We'll talk about all those issues on the other side of this quick timeout. You're listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
It's the Patrick Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
All right. So chances are we're back, by the way. Chances are you've looked at your Facebook page at least once today. Maybe you have checked Facebook. Maybe it's Twitter. Maybe it's Instagram. Most people nowadays are active on these platforms. Let's say, you know, unless you're elderly, and even quite a few elderly people are also active on social media. But I think the numbers swell as you get younger. And certainly by the time you're into, you know, adolescence and young adulthood, that's really where the major population is found. So a few more statistics with regard to news consumption. This is from a recent survey done by Pew Research. The percentage of users of each of the websites that I just mentioned, so that would include YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and it even gets into some of the smaller ones like TikTok, which is getting bigger and bigger. LinkedIn even, amazingly, WhatsApp, Twitch, etc. So it says that overall, the percentage of users of each site who regularly get news there has remained relatively stable since 2020, a year that included both the presidential election and the outbreak of COVID. However, both Facebook and TikTok buck this trend. The share of Facebook users who say they regularly get news on the site has declined 7 points since 2020. So it's gone down from 54% to 47% in 2021. TikTok, on the other hand, has seen a slight uptick in the portion of users who say that they regularly get news. It's just boggling my mind that they get their news on TikTok, from 22% to 29%. In some cases, there are drastic demographic differences between the people who turn to each social media site for the news. For example, white adults make up a majority of the regular news consumers on Facebook and Reddit at 60% and 54% respectively. Yet just under 4 in 10 Instagram news consumers, 36% rather, are white. Both black and Hispanic adults each make up a sizable portion of Instagram's regular news consumers. That's 20 and 33% respectively. People who regularly get news on Facebook are more likely to be women than men, 64% to 35%, while 2/3 of Reddit's regular news consumers are men. A majority of regular news consumers on LinkedIn, 57%, it boggles my mind, have a 4-year college degree or higher. Younger adults, those ages 18 to 29, are far more likely to get their news regularly on Snapchat and TikTok. The majority of the regular news consumers of many sites are Democrats or lean Democratic. This may be related to the relatively young age profile of the news consumer. No social media site included in this survey has regular news consumers who are more likely to be Republican. That I find interesting as well. So to the question of how people's opinions are shaped, certainly at a political and social level, there is no doubt, no question about it, that social media especially, but even the mainstream news in general, including the far-left outlets like CNN and MSNBC and print media like the New York Times and Los Angeles Times, and also, let's face it, USA Today, it shapes the way people look at the world. Now, I want to draw a correlation between the rise of social media, really the rise of mass media as it really began to emerge as a phenomenon in the 1960s and certainly into the 70s. And by the time CNN came onto the scene, we really began to see a proliferation of many different news outlets. Now, you would think that in the abstract, that would lead to a great variety of different opinions on things. But it seems to me that the vast majority of media tilts heavily to the left. There are some exceptions to that rule. Fox News would be one of them and a few others. But in general, my sense is that it's largely left-leaning. And I think the people in those groups, they would perceive themselves to be moderate or centrist, when in fact, I think they've lost a sense of perspective. In fact, they have moved so far to the left that things that were considered left-wing 20 years ago are now moderate, but the majority of people have moved much further to the left. And that correlation I want to draw is between the rise of mass media, the rise of social media in particular, and the dramatic decrease in people's faith in God. more and more people now, as you know, when they're asked, what is your religious preference? Do you have a religious preference? What is it? And they check the none box, N-O-N-E. I have none. And these are people who are raised Catholic. Perhaps your own sons or daughters find themselves in this situation. You may know people of any age group, rather, who fall into this situation. So keep an eye on this, and especially parents, I urge you, keep an eye on what your children are watching. I've said it a million times. I know it's an unpopular mantra, but I feel that I'm obligated to say it. I'm obligated to give this warning, even though for some people it seems irksome. But trust me on this issue. Don't give your adolescent children smartphones. Certainly don't give your pre-adolescent children smartphones. Don't give them unfettered, unrestricted access to the internet, because I don't need to spell it out for you. You know what they're going to find. And there are people and organizations out there who are actively looking for them. And they, if your kids don't find them first, they will find your kids. And the problems, the terrible things that can ensue, not the least of which, of course, is the loss of innocence on the part of your children. The costs are incalculable, and the damage that can be done is incalculable. And you may find yourself as a homeschooling mom and dad with your kids, if you're not vigilant about this, your kids will become high-functioning atheists by the time it's all said and done and they go out on their own. This happens over and over again. I hear this story constantly from parents who are mystified. How did this happen? They were homeschooled. And what happened? Well, in many cases, you know, I'll say, did you give your son a cell phone? The answer, well, yeah, we did, because all the other kids had a cell phone. But we had filters on the cell phones. Very often, they know how to get around those filters. And all they have to do is jump on YouTube, and they can find a video that will tell them how to get around the filter. Now, there are some filters that are pretty robust and be very difficult to defeat, so I encourage you to look into those. For example, Accountable to You, Covenant Eyes come to mind as examples. But please, parents, be vigilant. You don't want to have to look back later and say, boy, I wish I had taken that advice. It's like handing your child a stick of dynamite. Eventually, it's going to blow up, and you don't want that. And I know you don't want that. Now, Cyrus, as we're approaching the end of this particular segment, this particular hour, I recall that we had originally been talking about dreams. And I was going to share with you, I shared a little bit about that dream about Dan Rather and what's the frequency, Kenneth. Are you still interested in, because you asked me to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Okay. And I'm just keeping an eye on the time, so we'll just talk about that until we run out of time. What happened was the first, at least the first one that I can remember, was when I was, gosh, I think this probably would have been, I was 19 years old. I think this is the first time that I remember this happening. But over the course of my lifetime, I've had several dreams. And even when I'm having the dream, I'm still asleep and I'm having the dream, I know in the dream that this is going to happen in the future. It's hard to explain. It's hard for me to put it into words. But like, I have a million dreams every night. I'm always dreaming. It's fascinating. There are times when I go to bed and I think, okay, where are we going to go tonight? You know, consciousness, where are we going to go tonight? Where are you going to take me? What are we going to see? It's kind of an adventure. But every so often, I'll have one of these dreams that is vivid and different from other dreams. And even in the dream, I realize that. So here's what happened. So it's 1979. And in my dream, I'm standing on the grass next to a big runway at a big airport. I don't know which airport it is, but how you've got the runways, and then on either side of the runway, you've got like grassy areas, and then there might be a taxiway and other things like that. Yeah. So I'm standing on the grass, and there are big planes, the big jets taking off, going by. I mean, I would have been quickly arrested had I really been on one of these areas, but in my dream, so there I am. And I'm standing next to one of these little buildings. You see them dotting the landscape on many of the larger airports. They're little buildings, like equipment buildings, I guess, that are, they're red and white checkerboard. You know, so you've got a red box and a white box and a red box and a white box. And I guess they're painted that way to make them more obvious so the planes won't hit them by mistake. So I'm standing next to this little building, and I watch as this big commercial airliner rolls down the runway. No, you know, it rotates at the end of the runway. It rotates. The nose comes up. It lifts off the ground, going up, 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 up. And all of a sudden, it seemed like in the dream that maybe it got perhaps 1,000 feet up in the sky, maybe less than that, 500 feet maybe. And this huge commercial airliner, it just rolls over upside down and comes down on its, you know, it's upside down now, and it just crashes, comes back down again. This gigantic fireball. And I'm in my dream, I'm trying to like hide behind this building. And that's where I woke up, and I was crouched down next to my bed. So I had gotten out of my bed, and I was like crouched down on the floor trying to avoid the blast from this airplane. You with me so far, Cyrus?
Yeah. Okay. Picturing you in terrible. Your pajamas crouching by the side of your bed.
Yeah. And then I woke up. It's like, oh my gosh, what was that? It was so vivid. Okay. Well, I never had a dream like that before. So I told Nancy, I told my parents, I told other people, just, you know, because I felt like, what does this mean? What is that dream all about? I couldn't understand it. Well, within no more than a month's time, there was an American Airlines DC-10 that was taking off from Chicago O'Hare. And exactly what I dreamed happened. So this plane filled with, I don't know, 250 people rolls down the runway. It rotates. It lifts up, lifts off. The wheels retract. It gets several hundred feet in the air. And one of the huge engines that's mounted on the wing falls off. It just shears off because problems with the bolts or something like that. Whoa. And this gigantic airplane rolls over upside down, comes down, crashes in a huge fireball. Obviously, everybody dies. So when that happened, that was a wake-up call for me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I dreamt that in fine detail, and now it happened. So then, and I won't have time because we're near the end of the hour, but since then, there have been several other instances. I told you about the Dan Rather one. And that was, you know, low level by comparison. But I had a dream. Didn't come out exactly as I dreamed it, but it was almost exactly as I dreamed it. And there were a few other instances of that as well. And that leads into a question that we don't have time to talk about right now, which is, you know, what does that mean? Is that, how can you know something that will happen in the future? Is that your guardian angel telling you? You know, what is that exactly? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But so as I promised that I would share that with you, there it is. Have you ever had anything like that, any phenomena in your life?
A couple of times, but the most vivid, I was in fourth grade and I'd walk to school and I'd pass by this bus stop every day and it was always empty. There's never maybe one person in it, two people, but I had this one dream and it was super vivid. And I remembered everyone so specifically and about what they were wearing and it was just weird. I woke up with this picture in my head and then as I was walking to school, all of those people were at the bus stop. It was like 10, 12
dressed
people
the same way.
Dressed exactly as they were in my dream, and it really freaked me out, and it hasn't happened again.
Did you put that on TikTok? Well, it is
so
amazing.
What does that mean? I mean, it's, what does that mean? I was like, are they ghosts?
The only
thing,
you know, in that particular case, the one thing I could think of was maybe, you know, how you've had the experience of deja vu where you're in a situation and you say, I know I've been here before. I've done exactly this. I've said this. Isn't that a strange feeling? It's possible that that's what that was, that you were experiencing a kind of deja vu. But now, on the other hand, were you conscious of the dream before you went to the bus stop?
Yeah, I woke up thinking about the dream and it was all I could think about in the morning about how weird it was. Like, why am I dreaming about this bus stop? Why am I dreaming about all these strangers and why can I remember what they're wearing? I can't remember my dreams usually, you know, just bits and pieces. Right. And this one was so vivid. And then that same morning, walked past all those people that were in my dream.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. These things
Well,
happen.
Who knows? Maybe you've got the shining. Maybe you shine. You never know. Stanley Kubrick Stanley Kubrick will know what I mean by that. But well, I think we're at the end of our time. This is a fascinating discussion. Again, back to the earlier point, parents, please be vigilant in what your children consume and where they consume it. And don't be afraid to be unpopular if you find yourself having to curtail their activities online. They'll thank you for it later, even if they don't thank you for it right now. They may give you a hard time for it right now. Be really careful about that. And for that matter, we should all be careful about what we consume. As the old saying goes, you are what you eat. So don't feed on a steady diet of junk news or basically non-news that's posing as news, but it's really just people's opinions. Be careful. Oh, you know what? I just remembered something. I had a call recently about Justice and Mercy. It was some days ago, last week, I think it was. And I promised the caller that as soon as I could, I would spend some time talking about that. And so I shall. So coming up, I'm going to offer you some thoughts about justice and mercy and how do they interact? And what does it mean when you get what you deserve or you don't get what you deserve? All of that's straight ahead right after this quick timeout.